The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Welcome.
Hello, this is Tim from the editor's desk. Full disclosure about this episode. I had gotten into the Thanksgiving holiday spirit a tad earlier in the evening before we recorded our episode with some wild turkey. Yeah. So prepare yourself to be wowed. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to THSP's fourth annual Thanksgiving special episode. We are your hosts, Tim and Chris. For all of our new listeners out there, in years past, Chris goes out of his way and tries to pick out a giant turkey turd of a movie for which he has done exceptional work, and he exceeds our expectations with a new high and lows every season. And just like in years past, welcome back our special Thanksgiving guest, our dear friend, the one, the only, Sir David Rodriguez from Sequel This and Fighting Words. He pretty much loves making the rounds on everybody's podcast, for which we are very grateful for. How are you doing? How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro. I mean, I feel so special.
You are so special. You are so special.
Warming the cockles of my heart.
Yeah. Just the cockles.
Dave, you are here to provide merriment and myrrh to this episode. In fact, to pretty much most of the Thanksgiving episodes you've done with us, it's become such a tradition.
Well, one thing is that merriment is easy, but myrrh, I don't really know how to provide that. Like, does it hurt? Do I need to stretch?
No, it provides plenty of laughter, particularly from Tim and myself, and I'm hoping our audience as well finds plenty of laughter behind all.
Oh, they don't like it. They're like, oh, click off Thanksgiving episode.
Well, you know what? And if that's the case, guess what? It just amuses Tim and myself, so that's good enough, you know?
And you know, if you provide the myrrh, Chris doesn't have to provide the myrrh next month, which is where he really shines in December. So there you go.
All right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's true.
No, seriously, thank you guys for having me on again. You know, it's like every year, you know, I'm just like, well, I mean, there's a sort of hopefulness that you'll have me on for like a good movie, but no, every year you're just like Chris just looks in his vault of shit. I honestly believe he is like the Scrooge McDuck, except instead of gold coins, it's shit, and he just swims in it to find the shittiest movie that he possibly can find. And he's like, that's the Thanksgiving episode. And they just happen to have a turkey in them. Like, well, like they just have a vague resemblance to Thanksgiving.
But here's the thing, though. You're halfway correct there, but it's not like I truly want to dig deep and find a really terrible movie. But it's just required for this particular holiday. Honestly, if we could sit here and review a good movie, good horror movie, that'd be great, too. But because it's Thanksgiving and it involves a turkey, and well, we have to review a turkey of a movie.
So, here it is. So, Chris, let me just ask you this one question, sir.
Sure.
Do you? And this was released in Arrow Video in about 3 years ago. Do you own this movie from Arrow Video on Blu-ray?
I do not.
And oh, really?
Primarily because it kind of went past me, but at the same time, you know, I've read the advanced reviews on this thing, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not wasting my time with it. But then when we were kind of running down trying to come up with Thanksgiving-themed horror movies to review for the season, I thought that I was completely out of ideas until I forget how it was brought up to me, but I recalled that the movie Blood Rage involves the Thanksgiving holiday, pretty much right off the bat.
So, you're like,
this one just jumped up and bit you in the ass, didn't it?
Like, here's the thing, though. I'm not like sitting there laughing, going, "Oh, great." I'm more like thinking to myself, "Well, all right, I might as well just give it a spin and see." And I did. And
like,
my eyes lit up, and I was like, "Yep, we got some fool's gold here, or pyrite to be exact." But still, I mean,
maybe some Bitcoin, or Bitcoin, or for Bitcoin. All you millennials, Bitcoin for millennials.
Yeah, yeah. But So I did hear this movie, and then it kind of went past me, and then obviously try to find it, and you know. For this season, and of course, light bulb went off the top of my head, and like, Blood Rage. Dave, we don't do this necessarily to torture you. We just do this because we feel that you'll find something funny about it, so that way you can bring your brand of humor into talking about this movie. Because if we did this in a serious fashion, I think the episode would probably last only 5 minutes. So we have
to... Yes. No, I think I can make like anything. You know, I can make Sense and Sensibility funny. You know, Steel Magnolias, I can make that funny.
You can, but you know, again, those are fairly decent movies. This is different.
Yeah. We bring you in just for the turkeys, Dave. That's your job.
That's the thing, though. It's almost like, you know, fishing with dynamite when you're dealing with a movie like this. Because you're sort of looking at it and you're saying to yourself, okay, that's funny. That's stupid. That's idiotic. Why would they do that? What in the shit? You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy. The challenge is to do it on a good movie, because then with a good movie, you're like, wow, this movie's awesome. Yeah. But... let's try to find some funny stuff in here.
In comparison to... Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3 and Home Sweet Home, this has got to make it seem like, I don't know, rear view window or something, you know?
Well, and also, please keep in mind, you know, I mean, with the case of the first one that we did, which was Thanksgiving, you know, I'll be honest, once we finished reviewing that movie, I just sent that back to Amazon, you know? I mean, come on.
No, you didn't. Chris, don't lie. Chris,
I remember this.
Christopher Koenig.
A coaster. Come on.
Christopher Koenig, don't you dare lie. You bought the special edition Blu-ray DVD.
No, I didn't. I swear to God. I found it was like, you know, and again, it was for $9 at the time. I was happy to pay $9 for it. If it was $20, I would have shot myself. I mean, come on. But, and of course, I was very happy that Home Sweet Home was on YouTube. You know.
Yeah.
Piece of that. So I was like, I'm happy on YouTube.
And that's the caveat. If you guys want me to continue to watch these piece of shit movies, they have to be easy to view. Like this year, it was easy. It was easy. It was on Amazon. It was on YouTube. Super easy. Not a problem. I am not spending money.
We've never asked you to spend a dollar. We've never asked
and
you to spend a dollar.
That. But you remember the covert Thanksgiving activity? Like, you had to drop it off at my house like a foul UPS package. I mean, it was like contraband UPS. And I walk out, and there it is, sitting there by my front door, just a sack of shit. And the funny thing is, I don't think it even had any sort of packaging to it. It was just there, just shit, because no one was going to steal it.
It was in a bag. I believe I even put it by your door. It was in a plastic bag.
No.
It was in like a wino plastic bag.
No, because Chris, you delivered it to me in a plastic bag.
Oh, that's right.
And then I washed it and delivered it to Dave in a plastic bag. Because I remember driving over to Dave's house. I'm like, Dave, I put it on your door handle. You know, I sent him a text. I'm like, you know, it's there. Just grab it whenever you can. You know,
I left it there for 4 days,
thinking it would age better at cheese or wine. What?
Then I started using it as a doorstop, and it didn't work then. And then finally, I brought it in the house because I said, "All right, you know, it was kind of like, you know, in Fight Club where they have to go through the initiation and they have to stand outside. And they can't, you know, come in. It was like that was the Thanksgiving's initiation. I had to stand outside.
Dave, to give you full credit, you were committed to doing the episode with us. So you had to make the attempt to watch it, because I'm certain you knew in the back of your mind that if you didn't watch it and you tried winging it, we would have just chastised you at that point during the middle of the episode.
You know, and every year I consider doing that.
So okay.
Every year I consider puppet mastering.
Yeah, that's it.
Fuck you very much, much.
for those of you who don't know, because I've talked about this on Sequel This, and
we've talked about this on. We know Chris and I have talked about this on That Horror Show podcast as well.
Yeah.
But continue on,
so
sir.
There was a period of time. Obviously, we were all members of Super Evil Vampire Robot Podcast of Doom. You know, our original podcast, our first sort of dipping our toe in the water of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take a little bit of a break. I was going through some personal things, whatever. And so you guys were soldiering on, doing the great show. And then
thank you.
Well, one night Mark was like, hey, you know, first off, I was guesting on we used to do like Battleground episodes,
mm-hmm,
where it was like one movie versus another movie, and I was sort of like the referee or whatever. So then after that, Mark's like, hey, I'm recording, you know, the Puppet Master with the guys. Do you want to jump on? And I'm like, well, fuck it. Okay.
And,
so I jump on.
And Dave has never seen one single Puppet Master movie.
No.
I've seen a little bit of one. I've seen a bit of one, and I don't mind one, but there's a lot. And you know what's funny is I own the DVD because I bought it originally thinking I was going to be on the episode. But then I never watched any of them because then I sort of had to take a hiatus from the show. So then Mark brings me on, and then out of nowhere, Mark's like, hey, so Dave, why don't you do the synopsis of the Puppet Master movie? And then I just start spewing whatever. I made up characters.
Milo.
Was it Milo? Is that what
it was? Milo.
It was Milo. It was Milo. Oh, yeah. And honestly, here's a little fun fact about that. I tried to sell my Puppet Master franchise movies that I bought specifically for this episode for like $9 at Walmart. And the secondhand shop wouldn't give me 50 cents for that. I'm like, so I still literally have the franchise DVDs of the first like six movies because I couldn't sell them.
You know what? I have them too. I'm when I podcast, I'm in my man cave. And all my movies are in my man cave. So I'm actually, like, literally glancing at my DVDs as we speak.
Uh-huh.
And I believe that the Puppet Master movies are still in my collection. So it's super funny because it's like I literally – Mark is actually going through the archives and he's trying to find – because I don't know if you guys had listened to it, but we released – some old Sever Halloween episodes.
Of course,
I got to enjoy listening to Mark tell his story about how he went to the haunted bathhouse that we all had a laugh over.
Oh, and guess what? I found it. It's Puppet Master and Killjoy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Killjoy. All right. You're accusing me, Dave, of, you know.
So guess what Dave is going to be reviewing next Thanksgiving? Killjoy. One through four.
Have anything to do with Thanksgiving.
I don't care.
That's a caveat.
Well, we're running out of Thanksgiving-themed horror movies. So we just got to find
it.
Okay,
it does matter.
All right,
then I will retire.
So Dave, so Mr. Rodriguez, you have your choice: either do Killjoy or write a sequel for Home Sweet Home 2, The Reckoning.
gonna jump off a cliff.
There's no option C. So guys, how is the holiday preparation going for Thanksgiving? What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Or have you guys done anything yet? Are you guys preparing? What are you guys doing?
Well, I guess I'll go first. So the future wife, thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Okay. Yeah, congrats, man.
Thank you. I'm very, very happy. Megan is an amazing girl. And any woman that would put up with me for the rest of their lives, I mean, it's what more can you say?
Yeah, she has to be a saint to put up with you.
Yes.
Megan
is a keep.
Megan, good luck. We love you.
Yes. She is. She's amazing, and it's awesome. And we're getting married in June.
Sweet.
And we're gonna have a really good time. So we are actually having Megan's mom, her brother, her sister, and her whole family, which includes three kids, and her husband over for Thanksgiving. So we are hosting.
Megan's husband?
No. Oh. Megan's mom, uh-huh. brother, uh-huh. Megan's sister, and her husband.
Oh, okay, okay. I just want to make sure.
And their kids.
Okay.
My future brother-in-law, who's awesome.
Okay, gotcha.
He's a great, great guy. They're all amazing, but it's a lot. It's quite a few people. Mm. So it's like, you know, I'm looking at Megan and I'm looking at her house. I'm like, where the hell is everybody going to go? Like, where are they going to – are people going to sit on the floor? We're going to have like a fucking sit-in? Like, what are we going to do?
You have to bring out the bean bags.
Yeah, people could be eating turkey on the floor. Like, so we have to, you know, get the turkey and order all the stuff. We did Thanksgiving here last year, actually, and it worked out pretty well. Like, Megan and I – well, I told Megan, I'm like, yeah, you know, come on. I like to cook. I'll try it, whatever. And then Megan sort of took the reins, and then I supervised the operation, which is somewhat disappointing because, you know, I mean – I want to get my hands dirty. I want to shove my hand in a turkey's ass and get it prepped.
Come over to my house. You can do that all that you want. At least twice.
Yeah. But continue. But we're excited. You know, we're gonna have people. My kids are gonna be here too.
Oh, nice.
So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a really cool, like you know, full house family Thanksgiving. I mean, it sucks because we got to clean the damn house and we got to get everything ready, and it's going to be just annoying. But I'm getting Black Friday off, so I can drink as much as I want, I can eat as much as I want, and just have a good time. So that's what we're doing.
Awesome.
Sounds like a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it'll be good.
All right, Chris King, you're up. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm just going to be spending Thanksgiving with my mom, and you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, we're gonna have the traditional dinner and everything, but you know, she's got family like kind of scattered all over. I know her brother lives all the way out in California and everything, but that's basically what it's just gonna be. It's just me and my mom, and it's gonna be great too having a Thanksgiving off this time because sometimes I'm usually working.
Bravo, sir! You finally did it.
Yeah, I finally did it.
Now let me ask you this, Chris. Oh, what kind of stuff do you like for Thanksgiving? Like, obviously, you guys are probably rolling with turkey. Because I know some people do, like, weird stuff, like have ham or have, like, you know, other things. But as far as the side dishes, what do you like? What are your favorites?
I like cranberry sauce. That's pretty good. Of course, mm-hmm. I like the full turkey dinner. I like the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Get it.
Sweet corn and that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's just, you know, I can definitely hear your mouth water. I can actually hear it.
Oh.
Hear water as I describe
it. A little ham and eggs coming at you.
golf clap.
Get it, Chris. Get it. Don't be afraid of the dark.
Oh, Dave, you kid.
No, but all that stuff sounds great. That's what we're going to do, too. But my mom actually makes this, like, incredible Puerto Rican rice. It's like yellow, and then it's got like these split peas in it or something.
Nice.
It sounds weird, but it's like the most amazing rice you will ever eat. Like Megan's daughter had some. Actually, Megan, well, we went to my parents' house. What was it? Last Christmas, we all flew out to Florida. Kevin Kerrigan's neck of the woods. Well, we were in Naples, but you know, Florida state.
Same location. Yeah.
Florida's a big state, bud.
right. But
speaking of Florida, that's where the movie we're going to be reviewing takes place at.
That's true.
Jacksonville, baby.
Oh man.
But no. Sorry. But we had some good. Introduced them to some Puerto Rican food, and they actually dug it. So we used to, when I used to have Thanksgiving at home, my mom used to kind of institute a little bit of Puerto Rican food in addition to, you know, we would have the standard turkey, and there was like the stuffing was different. It was like a ham and potato stuffing instead of the usual bread stuffing, which I love both, but the ham and potato stuffing is like life. It's pure life. So, But Tim, what's going on with you? You guys just doing the family thing?
Well,
up in Minnesota in the frigid north?
Yes, baby. Yeah, right now I'm having a little wild turkey myself, you know. But no, I'm actually having my my mom and my sister and her husband and my nephews come up, and we're gonna spend a couple of days. We're gonna eat some turkey, and we're gonna watch football, obviously, and watch our Dave, our number one.
Bears,
number one, first place, baby, right now.
First place. They're going to kick the shit out of the Vikings on Sunday and then the Lions on Thursday.
Yeah,
right, Chris?
maybe.
Dave,
yeah,
Dave,
the Bears.
Dave.
Oh, the Bears, yes. I would totally lay money on. No, I wouldn't. What am I talking about?
Dave, your lips to God's ears, my friend. I would love to see that. In fact, we're actually having some people over because – you know what they fucking did was the Bears was a flex game this coming Sunday, so we're all prepared to have a noon game. I love noon games because win or lose, I can either be ecstatic or I can drink my sorrows away. Either way, I have a time to decompress or to become less excited. A 7
right.
o'clock game, motherfucker! I can't do that. I gotta get up. Like, I gotta be up at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
anyway.
But, like, for me, it's a 3-day work week, so I don't need to be that engaged.
So, long story short, we're having some people over, we're having some, Bears fans over, we're having some Minnesota Vikings fans over, we're having, some kids over for Nate and Gabby, my son and daughter. It's going to be a full house for the game. We're going to do some chili, we're going to do some whatever, we're going to watch the game on Sunday night. So that's going to be really exciting. My parents, my mom and my sister are, and her my nephews are coming over, and we're going to drink and we're going to do some board games and watch the Bears play the Lions. So yay, there you go. So hopefully at the end of Thanksgiving, the Bears will be 8-3, right, Dave? 8-3, right? That's what we want.
8-3, Super Bowl, Super Bears.
Yeah, there you go.
So let me ask both of you. Are any of you doing any Black Friday shopping? Because
for sure.
Black Friday is amazing.
For sure. I'm at least doing Target because, Target is my life. But, yes.
Well, the movie deals are great. Chris, any Black Friday shopping?
I'm thinking about just standing around at the stores and watching people trample over themselves because I'm so amused at watching people do that. I don't understand why, but I just love seeing it. No, to be perfectly honest, I don't really have any plans to do much shopping on Black Friday. I mean, if I feel the need to, I will do it. I mean, obviously Christmas is coming up, but I don't know. I'm kind of so-so with the whole Black Friday shopping, primarily because of the whole thing about how you get every crazy that's out there that wants to, push you over for something that, who knows if you need it or not. But
right, so, right. I mean, I don't want to be bowled over by some idiot that wants the baby that shits in the diaper for the daughter.
Yeah.
I get knocked over,
Dave,
because
I
want to get the shitting baby.
Dave, that was like 2 years ago. Really? Come on.
True story. But no, but seriously, this year I'm kind of excited because I specifically, with my company, they don't give the day after Thanksgiving off. But since I've been there for a while and I've accrued, a bunch of PTO time, I'm like, I should use some. So I'm like, I'm taking Black Friday off. Screw it. And
Dave,
I don't know. I may do some Black Friday shopping. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I got to talk to Megan.
Well, now it depends if the Bears win or lose. It could be a happy time or it can be a bad time. Either way, you're gonna spend some money. So
What the problem with Black Friday is that with me, it's like the whole point of Black Friday is like, hey, I'm gonna get Christmas presents. The problem is I get Christmas presents for me. That movie is $8. I'm going to buy that. That one is $8 or $7.
Dave, honestly, I'm waiting because I need to buy Tomb Raider. I need to buy a bunch of other video games for my PS4. And
right, video games too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I'm waiting for the Game of Thrones Season 7. I'm waiting for a few other things I usually buy that come down on Black Friday when they bring out the DVDs for like $10 or $15.
I own Game of Thrones Season 7. Megan got it for me for Christmas last year.
Wait, really? Wow.
Yeah. The last season, yeah, yeah.
I own season 6. I'm waiting for season 7 to come out because season 7 is going to be $10 this year because season – they're recording season 8 right now. I mean, they're going to do season 8 right now,
yeah.
Right?
Season 8 is the last
one. Okay, so yeah, I got to get season 8 of – or season 7 of Game of Thrones. I've got to get, hopefully Tomb Raider and a couple other video games. Maybe Red Dead Redemption 2. You know, who knows? But, we'll go from there. But, that's a big
crazy
time. That's a big time for me. Oh, yeah, Black Friday is my day. I'm like, I'll go nuts with DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah. The problem is I buy too much shit for me, and then I'm like, sorry, kids.
Yeah.
Santa is poor.
Yeah, what kind of a dad are you?
But look at all the new shit Santa has.
Hey, Santa's only got so much room on his sleigh, right?
Well, yeah. So my kids are getting older, so they're getting to the point where they're teetering on the edge of Santa to where I'll finally get some credit, because that's what I want. I just want credit. I bought the shit.
You know what? Honestly, right now, I'm petrified right now because my son is going, he's in first grade. And I'm waiting. I'm like, oh, God. You know, I know he's only got maybe 2 years tops before somebody spills the beans and says, Santa is mom and dad. You know, I'm like.
Well, I'll tell you, dude, my kid is in sixth grade now, and mm-hmm. he still believes in Santa.
Oh, perfect. Anthony still believes in Santa?
But it's not because I'm kind of like, I don't want the kids to make fun of him. But at the same time, it's like, I don't have the heart to tell him yet. And I got to talk to my ex, and I got to figure out what's going on. Like, we got to be on the same page.
Oh, of course. And it's a fine line you got to fucking walk, honestly, because I think I was, like, in fourth grade when I found out, and I'm like, I don't want to take that magic away, because there's very little magic left in this world, you know? I'm like,
I was in third. I found out in third grade, so it was like,
You know, I'm just dreading that day. You know, I'm like, this is it sucks. I want to tell my wife I want to have another kid just because I want to keep the Christmas spirit alive.
I'm sure Christina's all over that.
Oh yeah,
sure she's thrilled.
Oh, of course she is. But okay, guys. Well, I mean, I think we've got over our Thanksgiving stuff. You know, we're going into the holidays. So, honestly, before we have Dave sharpen his carving knives and carve into this big bird of possible turd, let's pause for a Speakeasy Podcast Network commercial break from our guys over at Throwing a Controller, and then we'll roll into our trailer for Nightmare at Shadow Woods. Oh, geez, my mistake, Blood Rage from 1983. Oh, I'm sorry, 1987. We'll be right back after this.
Man, Chris, you suck at this.
Man, it's lag. Shut it.
Maybe we should play Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
I got next.
Son of a goddamn fuck.
You love it.
Now that that's out of the way, we here at Throwing the Controller get together to talk about video games of all types, retro, current, whatever we choose. So join myself, Chris Barreras, Eric Barajas, and our digital Jedi, Brian Warren, as we dive into the world of video games.
Let's give the people what they want.
And join our Facebook group, the Speakeasy Video Game Group.
I'm Gina Linetti, and I approve this message. I love you!
Looks like you're going to get a chance to meet the rest of the family. My psychotic brother just escaped.
I bred everybody.
Here's to the new family.
Grace! I think I got you.
Hey, who's that good-looking chick there?
I don't know.
Got to have friends here. This place is slow death.
Oh, we'll find something for you to do.
Looks like you two have had quite a party.
All right, so Dave, why don't you take it away with your synopsis, bud?
All right. Well, it's always fun. So,
yeah. Stop stalling.
I prepared nothing.
Oh, no.
Fantastic. Well, that's it. That's it for the night, guys. Good night.
All right, episode over.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you in December.
All right, guys. Well, guess what? It's that time of year again. The leaves have changed color. Halloween is in the rear view as the smell of turkey and giblets fill the air. Does anyone actually eat giblets? It's like turkey entrails. It's like, is the turkey meat not enough? You have to eat every last organ, you sick bastards. Sorry. I got on a tangent. But once again, I am back on that horror show podcast to watch a terrible horror movie and complain. It's apparently what I'm good at.
I am
the Michael Jordan of viewing terrible movies and complaining. But instead of making millions of dollars like Mr. Jordan, I get to jump on this fine broadcast with you two fine gentlemen under the elaborate ruse of friendship. But alas, no friend would subject other said friends to viewing some of the cinematic rectal jerk chicken that you have all made me consume over the years. So when I was duped into jumping on again by the wily charms of the sexy beast Tim Kozda, I was anticipating the worst. I mean, what would it be this year? Asshat. The killer who cuts off his victims' asses and wears them as stylish, funny hats during Thanksgiving. But he was only able to kill one victim, as it's extremely hard to blend when you're wearing a human ass on your head. Or maybe it would be Scroatface, which, is kind of like Scarface, except has 100% less Al Pacino and 100% more balls. Glorious balls. Scroatface teabags himself, so he wins both and loses life.
Dave, it sounds like you haven't watched this move one bit.
No, we're getting there. We're getting there.
All right, just making sure.
Sexy stuff, buddy. Sexy stuff.
Or maybe it will be a movie about twins, one of which is a psycho killer and frames the other one, who spends his life in therapy only to escape and set off the psycho brother into a blood rage-induced killing spree. Oh, wait. That's exactly what you assholes gave me. So without further ado, I give you my synopsis for 1987's Blood Rage. This Thanksgiving fecal feast starts with the staple of any 80s movie, a drive-in movie theater. That's right, it's flashback time, complete with nerdy guys selling condoms out of his tough guy vest. Because that's who I want to buy prophylactics from. He probably poked holes in them as a joke. She's pregnant. Joke's on you. Eat shit. And that nerdy guy's got a bright future as a bathroom attendant ahead of him. Reach for the stars, buddy. The beginning takes you through the drive-in theater where every guy is horny and the girls are either horny or saying no. The guys who are striking out look disappointed or disbelieving. My favorite being Mustache Bandana Man, who I'm sure put on that clever ensemble with the thought that the women would be powerless to resist this. Well, resist she did. Cut to not very attractive at all old woman in a car with a guy that looks about 15 years younger than her. In the back of their very 70s hatchback, two adorable sleeping kids are supposedly unaware of their mom getting molested in the front seat. Or so the parents think, as one of the twins wakes up and then awakens his brother to sneak out of the hatchback to hijinks. And by hijinks, I mean axing a horny teenager in the face in mid-thrust. Which I guess, if you have to catch an axe to the face, it might as well happen while getting some sweet, sweet loving. Well, the brother that did the killing rubbed blood on his suddenly catatonic sip as the police arrive, convincing the catatonic one committed the face axing. End flashback and return to the present day 80s. Brother Todd has been in a loony bin since the incident. His hair looks like a cross between a Brillo pad and Raggedy Ann doll. But he's finally talking and saying that his brother Terry was the one that committed the heinous crime. Cut to a pointless scene of guys in a gym class with short shorts. Because, well, things. I mean, because the director knew that this scene would advance the story in all sorts of important ways. Like, I don't know, like showing potential side scrotum. I mean, nothing says plot twist like side scrotum. Then we get the Thanksgiving scene, which disappointed me, guys, because I was hoping that I could disqualify this movie from the episode for lack of Thanksgiving. But alas, there it was, gobbling its way into my corneas with goodness. I mean, you had everyone at the table. You had the psycho brother, Terry, toasting with milk. And he also had a head that looked like a triangle. This is mostly due to his stylish do, but if my head was already veering towards triangle territory, I wouldn't cut my hair into a pyramid to finish the damn job.
Well, you forget, Dave, it was the 1980s. So, you know?
I'm sorry, it still made me mad. You also had Ugly Mother, who looked just as old and haggard as she did in the car on that fateful night.
God. She was the only one that didn't seem like she aged at all.
Oh my God. And she is wearing a shirt that shows off her old misshapen cleavage. It's like, I mean, if I'm a woman and my boobs look like that, why in the blue hell would I wear something that would show off those unfortunate pound mounds of droop down? Pound. I mean, then you've got her new beau, her fiancé, some old guy. And then some random slutty girl who we will inevitably see naked later in the film. Plus, Terry's quote-unquote girlfriend, who he seems completely uninterested in. He's busy paying attention to Slutty Girl and his milk as he daydreams about face-axing fools. After a pointless close-up shot of turkey cutting, Fugly Mom, that's what we will call her, Fugly Mom, gets a call that Todd has broken out of the asylum. Convenient! And we are never quite told how he did that. What kind of rinky-dink country club asylum did they send him to? I mean, if you axe a motherfucker in the mouth or are accused of such, I would think more security would be needed. But the 80s were more lax, I guess. Either way, Fugly Mom and Terry are not happy. Ugly Mom's boyfriend, or fiancé, sorry, we'll call him Manus. As you can tell from these synopses that I've done over the years, I don't pay much attention to the characters' actual names. Because, who cares? So anyway, Manus decides to console her with his penis. Then there there's Fugly. Then there's Fugly. Here's some dick. Meanwhile, Terry watches secretly like a psychotic peeping Tom. Well, it's inevitable that Todd was going to come back to this extremely large wilderness compound that they're all at. So Terry uses this as an opportunity to kill. His first victim is Fugly Mom's fiancé. And we are definitely seeing that Terry does not like sex. Maybe he's asexual. Or maybe he's an idiot.
I will say he's an idiot.
I always wondered, why do killers not like sex? In every horror movie, people get off because they're having sex. Is it because their disfigured sausage is devoid of feeling or use? Either way, Terry cuts off his hand in mid-sip of old style.
Well, honestly, that's, you know, a blessing in disguise. Old style right. Sucks, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking so in a way he was doing Fugly Mom's fiancé a favor.
He was.
I mean, seriously, don't drink that shit.
Old style fucking sucks.
Yes, it tastes like armpit sweat strained out of a fat person's rectum.
Yeah, but Dave, I also recall that you're not a big fan of PBR either, so, you know.
No, I am not. No. I'm a beer.
Okay, here's the thing. Old style makes PBR look like the champagne of beers. Just saying.
I thought that was Schlitz. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not on the market anymore. Never mind.
Oh, God.
Forget it.
I just threw up in my mouth. So anyway, what's impressive is that Terry doesn't get any blood on his stylish 80s clothes. It's like he's wearing an invisible plastic wrap. He's like Dexter, except less interesting or good in any way. Just prior to this, we meet Jackie, who's got a tough guy vest that should be bulletproof. And his random friend who is atypical 80s asshole, so we will call him Snort.
Snort.
Todd's doctor comes to the compound to find him as Todd has arrived and is stealthily moving through the wilderness. The doc and her co-worker, who has a hoodie and trank gun, all important parts of a healthy psycho-hunting arsenal, decide to split up. Always an intelligent option in horror movies. Let's split up. Fantastic. Well, the doctor encounters Terry, and it doesn't end well, as we find her cut in half. Prior to that, she sees Terry coming and just stands there screaming. Like an asshole. I mean, move, bitch! Get out of the way! Her upper half is still moving in actually a surprisingly graphic scene, even though the special effects weren't great. Her upper torso looked like one of those novelty severed finger toys that you get for 8,000 tickets from playing skee-ball at Chuck E. Cheese. Also, how in the hell did he saw her in half with just that moderately sized machete?
Well, you know, Dave, it's not the size of the machete, you know?
Apparently it's not. Either way, the body count rises as Jackie catches it also. Terry finally has enough Hawaiian punch all over his clothes to warrant a wardrobe change, complete with blow-drying sequence.
That's right.
Got to make sure the dew is looking nice. It's like an award show of murder and death. Being dumb.
Okay,
so since I'm boring myself recapping this film, I will do what I usually do and give you the Cliff Notes version of the rest.
No, you better not. No, don't.
You're doing a great job, man.
Todd encounters Terry's girlfriend. She thinks it's Terry and says she wants to sleep with him. He says that he's Todd, and he's never kissed a girl, and she runs away scared. He's extremely suave with the ladies, like a beefy crunch burrito of love. Terry is still killing people. A lot. And he manages to be everywhere. He's like a way less scary, stupid-looking Michael Myers. He kills people having sex. People having sex after playing pointless games of midnight tennis. On a diving board, no less. FYI, this is Slutty Girl, who we get to see naked on two different occasions. One of those occasions, of course, is at her death when she's basically being ridden by the snort, I believe. That nudity is dedicated to her very own Ken Zuckerman. Just want to dedicate some nudity to good old Ken. He loves the naked ladies. And he also kills people wandering around the wilderness. All this while maintaining a simply charmingly horrendous sense of humor. It's not cranberry sauce! Terry enjoys remarking. It's his favorite go-to joke. It's his free bird, if you will. All this is intercut with Fugly Mom getting wasted while wandering around in her place robe. I would prefer it if she were wearing more clothing, like a snowsuit with tennis racket shoes. But I digress. All this comes to a head when Terry swings a knife at his girlfriend while telling her he loves her. Coming from experience, this never works in a relationship. Cue chase sequence while Terry seems to always be there with a humorous line. That's not cranberry sauce. She also finds a baby along the way. Because if you want to escape the crazed killer, a baby is the best way to stay hidden and stealthy. Well, she goes to the safest place she can. A pool full of glass windows that's fully lit. Gee, I wonder where she is. Oh yeah, there she is. She might as well have a big giant lit sign on the front that says, "Fucking idiot hiding here." Well, Terry comes in playing on the diving board. He's having so much fun, but I'm not. I just want this over. So, Todd is there, and the brothers begin to brawl. Didn't see that coming. Fugly Mother enters the area. Climax time!
Sexy.
I'm climaxing just thinking about this being over. Well, she has a gun in her hand and shoots Terry many times, and he collapses into the water. Todd and her embrace, but then she makes the mistake that many a man has made in the bedroom. She says the wrong name. She calls him Terry. He yells that his name is Todd over and over. My name is Todd. She then takes the gun and shoots herself, putting herself and us out of our misery as the credits roll. Go team! So guys, I will say this. This movie was probably the best movie that you two have made me watch. It was still a horrid piece of donkey shit. But it was infinitely more watchable than the others you have subjected me to over the years. So, guys, that is my synopsis. Thank you very much.
Oh, Dave, as always, fantastic man. Synopsis. I love
good job.
It every moment.
Good job. Big round of applause. Big round
super,
of applause, man.
Super,
thank
super,
you.
Super.
I didn't know if it was, you know, I was watching it and I was like, this is, there's a lot of stuff here.
Dave, I have to tell you, your synopsis has so much more effort put into it than the story for this movie, believe it or not.
Okay.
It was harder than they probably worked on this script.
Yeah. And okay, so honestly, when Chris suggest this movie because he suggests all the Thanksgiving movies we've been reviewing over the past few years. I looked at it, and I'm watching, I'm like, well, this doesn't really completely suck like the last few movies. I'm like, it's still bad, but in a very entertaining way. It's not. It's so bad. It's good. You know. It's like one of those so bad good movies. It's not like Thanksgiving.
It's kind of fun bad.
Yeah. Exactly. It's one of these movies you could watch again, and be entertained by it. It's not like Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving 3 or Home Sweet Home, where you would never ever want to watch those movies ever again, like in your life.
I will say this, Tim, though. By towards the end of the movie, I was like, I'm good. I'm ready for this to end.
Oh, for sure. The story and the acting is subpar. I mean, So the story is kind of lackluster. The acting is kind of hit or miss. But
the acting is horrendous.
Oh, it's awful. But what I will tell you, what I did enjoy a lot was like the practical effects a lot. And so did you guys ever notice that? You guys watched it on Amazon, right? Correct?
Yes, Amazon Prime. Yes.
So if you take a look at it, when you click on it, before you click on the movie and to start the movie, it says starring, and it says, Todd Raimi? I'm like...
Oh, Ted Raimi.
Ted Raimi. I'm sorry, not Todd. Ted Raimi doesn't even have any dialogue at all. He's in the movie for like 30 seconds at the very beginning. I'm like, how is
he
starring?
Condom salesman in the
song. Exactly. I'm like, exactly. He doesn't even.
He's the nerdy condom salesman.
So he literally has no dialogue actually at all whatsoever. And I find it funny is that he's got a starring role right next to the actress who plays the mom. So it's like her and then Ted. And then, Dave, you're a fan of Friday Night Lights, right? The TV show?
Well, I did watch the first few seasons.
So you know the teenager that gets killed first?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean the one that gets paralyzed or the one that gets...
No, the one that gets a hatchet to the face in the very beginning, in the opening sequence.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Friday Night Lights. Okay.
I'm sorry.
The one that gets a hatchet to the face.
One that gets a hatchet to the face in the beginning of Blood Rage.
Blood Rage, right, yeah.
Is this used car salesman in Friday Night Lights.
The fat guy?
Yes, exactly.
The fat guy with the mullet?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
This is a young Brad Leland, I believe.
Yeah, Brad Leland.
Get it done.
Yeah, so Brad Leland, yes, he's the one that is in Friday Night Lights. He's the one that plays the used car salesman. I forget what his name is, but yeah, he's the one that's in that movie. I'm like, or in the TV show. I'm like, what? Because he looks nothing like that.
And the quote unquote lead actress that plays the mother in this film,
Fugly Mom.
Yeah, Fugly Mom is Louise Lasser, who is best known for working with. Woody Allen in movies like Bananas from 1971 and Take the Money and Run from 1969. And she also was in the TV show Mary Hartman. So it's
She was also married to Woody Allen for a short time too, correct?
I think she was too. Yeah.
Three or four years. Yeah.
Right. But and she's also in my favorite Frank Henenlotter horror movie, Frankenhooker from 1990. But
who doesn't love that? That's a classic.
It's great. But anyways, but I have to say, she looks like she is completely out of her element in this movie the entire time. It looks like she is just not with this whole movie. I mean, is it just me, or does it look like she's confused, trying to figure out how she's supposed to play her character in this movie? It's so strange.
Honestly, I just thought that was her character, honestly. I mean...
if it was, then she completely fooled me. I thought that she was just, like... I mean, maybe there was a little bit of it there, but I mean, the way how she plays everything up in this movie is just like, it feels like there was no direction, there was no nothing. They just let her just take the role and run with it, and maybe it was, for the best, but still, she looked like she was just really, like, not at all with the whole show.
I thought she did seem a little checked out too. I do agree with you, Chris.
But honestly, I thought that was just her character because she was kind of checked out since the very beginning. I'm like, I just thought that was her character.
I gotta say, if that's the case, she seemed like she was checked out before her one of her kids kills somebody.
Oh, of course she was. I'm totally believe she was. I just was assume that was just her character because she was always looking for her next baby daddy. I mean, like when she was at the drive-in in 1974 at the beginning of the movie with the guy. I mean, it's so bizarre. It's like honestly, this whole movie was just.
I laughed at the part where when she was serving the Thanksgiving dinner. And after she made the announcement that they're getting married, that, you know, she says, oh, go on, eat up. Eat other things, too, besides the turkey or whatever she said.
She said, fill up, you should start with the other stuff, you know, like her future husband's cutting the turkey. But, you know,
Later on when she's, like, worried about the whole thing about her other son escaping from the mental institution, she's talking to her fiancé, and then as she's walking off, she just says this, like really off line saying that turkey was really good. I did make that right. And I'm just sitting there going, my God, what is she improvising in this scene or what? Well, I don't know what she's trying to do.
Here's another thing that really kind of threw me is that when she first comes to the estate or the mental institution and she talks to the doctor, we get that immediate voiceover of the doctor that really threw me off because I thought the doctor was going to play a much more like major role in the film. You know, I mean, she's talking like she's never done this before. You know, this is the first time that the son is meeting the wife, or the son is meeting the mother. But then we find out in the movie that the mother has come every Thanksgiving to drop off a piece of pumpkin pie to her son, which makes no goddamn difference because you figure as a doctor, as a main psychiatrist in this hospital, you figure if she's coming every year for the past, 10 years or 9 years or whatever it is, you figure she would have met her at some point. I mean, it boggled my mind a little bit, but I'm like, you know what?
Well,
it's just a slasher movie, whatever, you know.
Well, what boggled my mind was why would the doctor and her stupid assistant go after this escaped, mental patient with only one tranquilizer gun? Okay.
She was awful.
Yeah. I mean, like, why doesn't she have one? Because when she says let's split up, I'm thinking to myself, well, your partner has only one gun, one trank gun.
Here's the thing. That after she's been like cut in half, apparently she doesn't have just a trank gun. She has a fucking revolver. Apparently, so she has a trank gun and a revolver, which makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. Because then, if she had a revolver, why is she taking the trank gun from like her fucking stoner assistant? I'm like, why? Why keep him unarmed, you know?
And I gotta tell you, all the victims in this movie seem like really easy prey. I mean, I just love the part where the killer like is talking to the young doctor's assistant, and the assistant offers the killer, a joint, and of course he's got that machete easily hidden behind his back. And the kid doesn't even like try to like question why are you hiding this. And then he stabs the poor.
No, 100%. Well, here's the fundamental problem that I have with this movie is I felt like this is one of those movies that it could have been kind of cool. Had they done the beginning sequence correctly, then it could have been kind of a cool mystery, like which brother is the killer and which brother isn't. And it could have been kind of a cool plot twist at the end, which brother it was. Was it this one? Was it that one?
They
botched it.
They botched it. Like the opening sequence, had they not revealed that, it was the other brother and that he switched it up and they actually made it a mystery and then we find out at the end, we probably would have been, compelled enough to sit here and go, oh, okay, fine. But you're right, Dave. They totally botched that. It was like
it was a total missed opportunity because it could have been kind of a cool, different – well, no, because seriously, like – having twins and stuff, I thought it was kind of an original, kind of cool idea. But again, it's like I just felt like they screwed it up. Missed potential.
There was another movie back in the early 80s called, I think it was called The Initiation, right, Chris? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, where it was with identical twins, but it was a girl, correct?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah. Where it was set in a college campus instead. And, you know, I thought that was much more executed, a lot better than this. And obviously, this is a turkey of a movie. But honestly, in the realm...
I see what you did there.
And in the realm of Thanksgiving, in our past episodes, this was probably the best Thanksgiving themed slasher movie we've reviewed so far. I mean, I know the bar was set low. I know it was set low, but I mean, I actually enjoyed this movie. This is a movie I probably would reinvest in, maybe down the line in another year or two.
Well, you know, Tim, I'll say this. Yeah, I would say on a technical level, you know, it's not badly shot. The editing is decent. Yep. This is one of those movies mm-hmm. where it feels like the talent behind the camera, with maybe the exception of the writer and the director, but the other talent behind the camera actually brings something to it a little more than the talent in front of the camera.
Oh.
And that's in my opinion why I do agree with you that if we compared this to the other films we reviewed, Home Sweet Home, Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving 3, yeah, Blood Rage on a technical level looks like a more polished film than those films.
Yeah.
But the downside of it is that this is another one of the – at the time when this was made, 1983, and it didn't get released theatrically until 1987.
Mm-hmm.
So that's telling you something right then and there. But – It's one of those movies where it just feels like the filmmakers were just like trying to just, you know, cash in on the then popular slasher trend, but rather than actually sit there and say to themselves, okay, well, what can we do here that would, you know, maybe do something a little different or make it a little more interesting? In the case of what Dave said, maybe actually try to, you know, not give away the reveal right away, you know, but instead it just feels like the people involved were kind of just more concerned on making a film that just is by the numbers rather than actually doing something with the genre. You know, I mean, doing something with the genre that it's being made. So it is disappointing in that regard. I mean, I will agree. I mean, if you think about it on the onset, you know, I mean, yeah, it feels like it has potential. But when you actually watch the finished product, it's like, well, they were kind of halfway there. And it felt like about halfway through, they just gave up and threw in the towel and just, mm-hmm. you know, said, just, you know, okay, let's just put this together in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, sure.
And if someone buys it for release, fine, you know, but still.
And I totally get what you're saying, Chris. Those are really extremely valid points. And, but just to get back to, like, the movie, and it's just kind of craziness and just kind of, like, just silliness. You know, other than, like, this isn't cranberry sauce, my favorite line, can you guess my favorite line would probably be in this entire movie?
The end?
No. No, Dave.
No, that's pretty close. Dave.
Pretty close.
My fault.
No. But it's a valid point. But my mine would be the little girl in the other unit. The main heroine is banging on the door saying, please let me in, the killer's gonna get me. And the little girl's response was like, oh no, you're gonna hurt my kitty. That was my favorite line.
Oh, yeah, you're gonna hurt my
kitty.
That
was my favorite. You're gonna hurt my kitty.
Snap, crackle, pop.
I'm like,
Krispies.
I'm like, that was out of nowhere. Like, it made me giggle so much. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
That was the most hysterically, like, most ridiculous excuse of a line ever put into a movie. Like, can you let me in? No, you're going to hurt my kitty. Tell you something. The other thing about this is this movie just feels like it just has one character too many. Everything is there. Like you said, the production value, it's decent. You know, the camera works all right. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of shots in here that are kind of flatly shot. But besides that, you know, it has the atmosphere of it. You know, the music's even decent.
Yeah.
So it's like you're sitting here going, but it's like I said, it's like halfway through, they're kind of just like, well, you know, what about the story? Well, the story is just but a means to an end and everything here. And it's like, oh my God, you know?
And you know what? Other than the you're going to hurt my kitty, like, quote, my favorite part was where the woman is dressing up to seduce, like, a rich husband, and she's...
No, it was a He was like a bank. No, he was a Wall Street guy. Or
yeah, yeah. Anyway,
Horatio.
She, yeah. So basically, this woman, anyway, in the comp is trying to seduce this young guy. She's like, let me slip into something more comfortable, you know. And she goes in and she's like,
yeah.
And then she's talking to the baby in the cradle, and she's like, I'm going to get you a new daddy, a rich daddy. I'm like, oh my god. And then this guy gets fucking like decapitated and gets hung up like by like a record recorder. I don't even know.
Dude, don't forget though, in the early scene with this woman with her kid, that she almost left her baby behind at the pool. Do you remember that?
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I was trying to figure out, like, it was so funny because I was like, we're watching it. And full disclosure, I forced my fiance to watch this movie.
Oh my god!
I may have mentioned that at the beginning. Oh, that's right. I just mentioned that to Tim. Yeah, I forced her to watch this with me. So she's sitting on the couch watching this with me, and I'm surprised I'm still getting married. Number one, you know, I'm surprised that's still happening. But it is. I'm still engaged. But anyway, so like
as of this recording.
But we're both looking at this. Right, next year I could be like, well, that didn't happen.
Thanksgiving 2019.
But anyway, but we're looking at this woman, and we're like, why is she all over this nerdy guy? Like, what is going on? And then, of course, that's when that line hits that you said, where it's like, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to get you a rich daddy, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, again, like you said, like both of you said, and especially Chris, you had said, there's too many characters in this damn movie. That's why I had to kind of truncate the synopsis a little bit, because there's too many goddamn people to keep track of.
Yeah.
And granted, it was all just kind of like fodder.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like they were just,
but even when they get knocked off, you just don't give a shit. And
no.
That's the reason why like, you can't even keep track of who these people are and what their motivations are and everything. They're just there. And then when they get killed, you're just sitting there going, well, all right.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, like you said, it was fodder. And I'm looking for, like, the cool death scene or, like, a cool something or other. Like, okay, so, for example, like, the tennis couple, you know, they did a fake like death scene for like another the other couple, and then they're on the tennis courts, and then they're like making out and they're having sex on like the diving board of a pool, which makes no sense because, you know, there's no as a man, there's really no, you can't really have sex on a diving board. I mean, there's like just there's no friction, there's no power.
It's very possible. You shut your mouth, hippie.
And again, I mentioned earlier how there were a couple of shots in here that are kind of flatly shot in terms of the framing. But I love how when our killer shows up, it's just a wide shot of him walking up and then just saying, hey, and then they look up and all of a sudden he takes a machete and cuts the throat, and you know, and I'm like, wow, that could have used another close up, another shot, a reaction shot. No, it's just him walking up and to slashing the kid's throat and then killing the other one, and we're like, oh wow, that's really engaging.
especially Chris, but Tim, you went to film school too, didn't you? A little bit, or no?
A little bit.
Well,
let's
so for
that,
you
yeah.
guys,
let's quote that.
but for you guys, this had to like kill you, like all the like me. I was looking at it and I was like, oh my god, like that was a really bad shot. But for like for especially you, Chris. This must have been you nuts. Like, why would you do that? Were you yelling at the screen?
No, I wasn't yelling at the screen. I was I was laughing more than yelling because I'm sitting here going, wow, you know, this whole thing feels like directing 101, and yet every aspect of it is, like, turned completely on its head and trying to pass it off like, yeah, this is like, no, wait, there's a problem here. And by the way, I'm not trying to criticize this movie like I was expecting like Orson Welles to make this thing come together, but
yes, you were. Don't you to me?
Well, let's put it this way: when you have a good horror movie like Halloween that's very well composed, and you take that and you look towards Blood Rage, it's easy to decide which one. It's easy to decide which one is the better film.
Now, Mr. Koenig. Yeah. Have you seen the sequel? Have you seen the new Halloween movie?
Well, I was talking about the original.
No,
I'm talking about the new one.
Well, I'm talking about the sequel. Have you seen the sequel? The new one. from 2018.
No.
You must.
Chris!
You must.
I know I should, and I definitely will when it comes out.
Don't listen to the... Well, listen, you can listen to the sequel this beginning part of the episode, but once we say spoiler... Well, no, we tell you. We say, hey, spoilers are coming, and we give you plenty of warning to stop listening.
Yes, it's about, what, 25, 30 minutes in, right?
I would say so, yeah. It's actually doing pretty well, so it's a good episode.
No, it's fantastic.
But the point, as I was trying to make, is that you can obviously tell the difference visually. What's the better horror film if you put Halloween, the original, side by side with Blood Rage, you know? I mean, you just look at that, and you can tell what is missing in Blood Rage that's present in Halloween, you know?
Chris, which is funny you mentioned that, like, Halloween and Blood Rage, because, honestly, like, okay, so I have the CD in my car that's AMC's, like, greatest Halloween hits, right? Yeah. And so it's got, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, it's got Friday the 13th, it's got Halloween, obviously, it's got, you know, Thriller from, you know, Michael Jackson. But my daughter's favorite track, Halloween, from John Carpenter, she's like...
Yeah.
Daddy, play the one with the mask, with the scary mask. And she didn't know what it was, but she loved.
Oh my God!
She loved the tone of it. My son loves the tone. I mean, he's seen, like, Jaws. My daughter's never seen Halloween. She's never seen, like, any of those movies. But she loves the Carpenter soundtrack. And so we've listened to the Carpenter soundtrack, like, at least 10 or 12 times in my car. It's just funny that you said that. I mean, it's really funny because she absolutely adores John Carpenter's Halloween soundtrack without even seeing the fucking movie, obviously, because she's 4, and I'm not going to subjugate that to her, but it's just funny that you said that. But continue on, sir.
But as I was saying, it's like, you know, when you watch this movie, like I said earlier, you know, it has the ingredients, and there is some talent, you know, behind the camera, but everything in front of it just feels like it's just, you know, like they just threw in the towel halfway through, and it's like, oh my God, you know, I mean, sitting here, and it's like, you got to think about it too. It's like, this is something that was shot in film, and that, you know, you actually had, like, money put into it, not like millions of dollars, but like some degree of money. And you're sitting here going, oh, now look, and by the way, made at a time when anybody was able to make a movie, no matter what the budget was, and if it had someone getting killed, you know, like in of this type of genre film, okay, yeah, fine, anybody could have done it. But, you know, you're still thinking about, like, my God, you know, give, you know, one for the effort.
So, guys, my thing is, okay, so why do you think this, Chris and Dave, why do you think this movie waited like 4 years for it to be released? Is there an official response to that?
I think perhaps, okay, there's two ways you can look at it. Maybe it was a situation where nobody wanted it, and it just sat on the shelf for a while, and then eventually somebody said, yeah, we'll take it. And it could also be, the second part is, maybe because the market had so many slasher films out, although it was made in 83, so, I mean, it still was kind of... It's still kind of going strong, I think, at that point. But maybe they just weren't getting – maybe the market was saturated and they just decided to just, you know, withhold it and see what else they can do. I mean, it's – I do agree, though. It's very odd that this movie was made in 83 and that it took a couple years to make its release in 87. And then, by the way, actually have two versions of it. There's the theatrical release version, which was called, I think, Nightmare at Shadow Woods, which had all the gore cut out. And then there is the home video release, which was Blood Rage, the original version that we've all just recently saw, that has all the gore kept back into it. And both of those versions were released on video at one point from different video companies. So it's like, what, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. It's hard to ascertain. It's for a movie like this, it would just give me a headache, actually, to think about it.
What about you, Dave?
I kind of agree with what Chris was saying. I mean, it's one of those things where, it kind of, when you watch this film, it does kind of feel like they didn't really know what they wanted to do. They knew they wanted to make a slasher. They knew they wanted to capitalize on the whole slasher craze, you know, kind of a Halloween, Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger type of thing, whatever. But I don't think they knew what they wanted to do with it. I think it almost feels like someone came up with the twins angle, and then they're like, oh, that seems like a good idea. And then they could put something together, but I don't think they were totally happy with it. And then they just kind of let it sit for a few years. And then they finally were like, well, we have this movie. And someone was probably like, let's just release it and see how it does.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way it went down. I don't know. I mean, I kind of agree with Chris. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense why, you know what I mean? Why they would have just sat on it. But I think maybe they were unsure. And they just kind of released it and said, yeah, we'll take our chances. We got this movie. What's the point? It's not making us any money sitting on the shelf. Let's release it, see what it does.
Well, you know, Dave, it's funny you said that because I'm looking at the taglines for the movie for Bloodline or Blood Rage. I'm sorry. It says taglines, not all evil is on Elm Street. So I'm like, not all evil is on Elm Street. That's kind of a weird tagline for a movie that's called Blood Rage /slasher/ you know, whatever it is, but not all evil is on Elm Street.
In other words, it sounds like a hard sell.
Yeah. It's like they didn't know what they had, but they know they had something, you know.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we've said our piece about this movie so much. I mean, granted, we can go deep into this whole thing, but I think Dave's synopsis covered this thing well.
Dave, you did a fantastical job. Honestly, next year, please, sir, when Chris finds something for you, please do it in Samuel L. Jackson's like semi-quasi voice. Pretty please.
It would literally have to be a one-page pitch. Like, it would literally have – I couldn't do, like, that long a pitch, like what I did tonight in Sam Jackson voice. It just – it literally tears my throat apart. You could,
but it would have to be, like – you'd have to edit it, obviously.
Come on, Dave. You'd have to be up for the challenge. After all, you took the challenge of watching this movie and coming on this show.
And you know what? Mark would be kind of upset because he'd be like, you got to save that Sam Jackson for sequel this.
In other words, Dave, you do have to commit the Samuel L. Jackson voice.
I don't think that's going to be rough. I'm sorry, but that's going to be rough.
No.
So I really enjoyed hanging out and you know, being on another episode with you guys. Like, this is fun. I mean, it's always a good time.
I think we're all in agreement that this movie, Blood Rage, or Nightmare at Shadow Woods, or Slasher, whatever the fuck title you want to call it, I think we all agree that it is a gem of a movie. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I think we all can agree that this movie pretty much just sucks a dick. I mean, I'm certain we're all in agreement that this is a really awful movie, and hopefully all of our friendly relationship has not been tested by this film. But
so, at this time, I'd like to thank our special guest, David Rodriguez, for stopping on by. So thank you very much, sir, for your time and effort. Is there anything you're currently working on that you would like to share with the class and plug?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Well, obviously, Sequel This is a big part of my life with the aforementioned Mark Rissman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've got some we're taking the month of November off, and then in December we're ready to get right back into it. And we're going to have at least one, maybe a couple of Christmas episodes. So we're really excited about that. Finish off the year in style. And then Fighting Words, we're actually – Kevin and I are in the process of setting up a recording time. We are finally going to do our Evo recap episode. And we also have a Soul Calibur 6 PlayStation 4 review for you guys. Mm. So that is – going to be the new game on the block, and we're excited about doing that. We both have it. We're both putting it through its paces, and we're setting that up. So, yeah, there's going to be some great things, and definitely, please, check out everything on the Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Oh, for
everything
sure.
Everything there is amazing. including this fine podcast that you guys work so hard to produce. I'm a big fan of your guys' show, and that's why I come on every year, is because I really do enjoy it. And thank you guys so much for having me, really, well, for sure.
So before we get out of here tonight, I just want to say how thankful Chris and I are to have you guys tuning into our show each month. And thank you for all the ones that follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We hope you have a great holiday and enjoy your family and loved ones. Eat some turkey, share some laughs, and prepare yourself for the Jolly Fat Man that will be coming to town next month. Also, stay tuned to our social media for Season 4 finale. We think you'll really get a kick out of it. So, for Chris Koenig and Dave Rodriguez, I'm Tim Kazza. Thank you for listening to THSP. Have a good night.
Hey, guys. Well, that's the end of the episode. We hope you enjoyed listening to us as much as we did recording it. If you subscribe to us through iTunes, please leave us a note and a rating. Your feedback helps shape our show. If you would like to email us with questions, comments, or even a possible show idea, or just to say howdy, you can by emailing us at thathorseshowpodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook. Just type in That Horse Show Podcast in the search bar, and we'll pop right up. Make sure to also find and like the Speakeasy Podcast Network's official Facebook page as well. That way you can keep up to date with all the network's great podcasts. We are also on the Twitter machine at THSP at That Horse Show 1. So be sure to stalk us there. Follow us there, and we'll follow you right back. Finally, I'm on Instagram at Tim at That Horse Show Podcast. So we'll see you around, and take care.
Thank you for listening.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.